Brother Kyle mentioned earlier about believing in him, and that's what I have on my heart this morning is faith and trusting in him. And I want to, if y'all don't care, it ain't what I had last week, but he gave me another thought. I've come to believe that he knows what we stand in need of, and I just need to stay out of the way. But we've had an altar prayer, and we'll pray again, I promise you, here in just a little while. But if you're here today and lost, or prayer, the last time I preached the lost. Seems like Sister Chelsea said, my heart here lately has leaned more towards lost people. I look around and I see the world and the time we live in, and it's dangerous. We're living in perilous times. Brother Larry mentioned this morning in Sunday school that we're on the brink of a World War III, and we could very well be. I want you to know today the Bible talks about there'd be times, there'd be rumors of wars, and all kinds of things going on, and we're living, I believe, in those days. And today, if you're lost, you need to put your trust in the Lord. I want to read very familiar scriptures this morning out of Mark. I've read these scriptures before. Good Lord willing, we're going to read them again here in a minute. There was a woman with an issue of blood. And I pray today that we'll be able to bring. I saw some things in this I guess I'd never seen before. And maybe I'd seen them, but I'd never seen them like this. And so y'all pray for us this morning that we'll be able to bring this out. And if you're here and lost, you pray for yourself. Do what she said. Pray for conviction. I really believe lost people, when they get under the right kind of conviction, they'll want to get saved. Brother Brian mentioned about the one being scared to death. I'll be honest with you. I don't want people to come to church and be scared to death to come to church. But I'll say this. I don't want lost people to come to church and be comfortable in church. I don't remember being comfortable when I was lost. When I went to church, it bothered me. When the preacher preached, it bothered me. When they give an altar call, used to, when they'd give an altar call, you either went to the altar or you tried to get out. You didn't want to be around that environment. It bothered you. And I don't want you to be scared of me or scared of the people of this church. I don't want you to be scared of the way I might act. But I want you to notice there is something different. And there is something different between somebody saved and somebody lost. A certain woman, this is Mark chapter 5, to do with the issue of the blood, and verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, I came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thus saith this multitude thronging thee and saying, thou who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And I want to go over here and Hebrews and very nothing new today, very familiar scriptures. And I want to read the first verse and the sixth verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so this is where my thought was. I thought about it, talked about how many people was there and how they thronged about him. They was all around him and touching him in every way. But this is the only person I find in these scriptures or this situation that he saved, that touched him in a way of faith. And there was something different in this woman than all the others that was there around about him. I don't know how many was there. It could have been hundreds. It could have been thousands. But they was all around Jesus here, no doubt, rubbing up against him, touching him, all around him. But this woman, through faith, touched him and was made whole. I think about what you said. Why can't I get saved? I look at how many I come here Sunday after Sunday, sat in their pew time after time, never make a move towards the Lord, all around him. I want you to know he is omnipresent. Jesus Christ is with us today. He is all around us today. Honey, I can feel him. He's inside of me. He's touching me, and I'm touching him. But I want you to realize today, he can be all around you, and you die and go to hell. I preached a sermon here one night about how Brother Luke mentioned once about kissing the door of heaven. I want you to know Judas got so close to him, he actually reached out and kissed the door to heaven. He touched Jesus just as this woman. All she touched was his hem of his garment. All she touched was his clothes. But he actually touched Jesus and still died and went to hell. I want you to know there's a difference in how you got to touch him. You got to come to him believing. You got to believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And until you get to a point that you truly, I mean truly, believe in Jesus. I don't believe every one of them was saved that was there that day. I don't believe that. I believe they'd heard about Jesus just like this woman. They come to see the show. They come as he walked by to see what would happen. They heard how he would heal and do all these things, and they wanted to see this. Why wouldn't there more got saved? Why didn't you get saved to start with? See, if it was just simply saying, believing that Jesus is, and he come to save my sin. I believed that for a long time. I believed in Jesus. I believed in hell. I believed in heaven. I believed all these things. But he had to make himself manifest unto me. And when the Holy Spirit of God done that, when he made him so real to me that I quit believing in him in just my mind, and I wanted him more than anything else, then I was getting to a place I could get saved. See, believing is not just something you work up. Amen. It's not a work. If it was that simple, you would got saved the first time, see? You would got saved the first time you ever tried. And some of you did. My wife got saved the first time she ever went to the altar. And I don't want to tell you can be. Amen. But you got to go believing. Amen. And there's a difference. I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. But there's a believing in us. There's faith in us somewhere that we put away all doubt. The night I got saved, I had no doubt. I had no doubt that he was. I had no doubt. Y'all heard me tell it over and over that I was going to die and go to hell. I believed if I'd went out the doors that night, you'd say, well, Brother Jeff, if you'd went out them doors, you would have died and went to hell. You would have had another opportunity. You don't know that. I don't know that. I got to the point that it was so real to me. I wanted him more than I wanted my life.
I believed in him more than I did myself. Me and Brother David Swindle was talking here a while back, and he was talking about having confidence in me. And I said, Brother David, I've got more confidence in you than I do myself. And I meant that. I wasn't saying that. The night I got saved, I had more faith than I believed in him and more than I did my next breath. And you've got to get to that point that you want him and believe in him more than anything. How do you get there? Why did the others get saved? As they run by, they bumped up against him, and they touched him. They said, I touched that man because Jesus the one that healed. The one that's gone to raise his child from the dead. Don't think they would have told that 2 weeks later? The one that raised that little girl, Jairus' daughter, he raised her from the dead. I touched that man. But they never touched him in faith and never got saved. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? I used to go to them UT football games. A lot of y'all probably do. Game would get over. Everybody would leave and they start going down that ramp. You start exiting, you're going down there. I'm talking about 110,000 people all of a sudden. Here they all go and you're all crammed in this. And I mean, you're right against people and you're shoving and you're pushing. And you, somebody could ask you, did so-and-so, who touched? When that was for us. Jesus knew who touched him. He knew when virtue went out of him. He knew who it was. And for us to know that we cannot know. They said, Lord, look at all this throwing about you. Everybody's touching you. But only one touched him in faith. And I want you to realize today, that's why you're still not saved. Because you still ain't touched him in faith. You still not called on him in faith. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, I believe you're trying. I do. I believe that. I believe I tried. I went for a long time. I went to the altar and I'd sit here, there, wherever I could get to. And I'd sit there and I would say, Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I want to be saved. They'd say, don't give up. I don't give up, so I'd keep trying. The next one would say, surrender. So I didn't know what to do. I want you to know it takes the Holy Spirit of God bringing somebody down to the point that they can believe. You can't do it without it. He's got to be made manifest unto you. And you say, what do you mean be made manifest? The Holy Spirit of God's got to show you. You've got to be convicted. Nobody goes unto him unless the Father who sent them draw them. Y'all ever watched these preachers on TV? What was that preacher? I can't even think of his name. He was the great evangelist, the Baptist evangelist. What was his name? I know you know somebody. Billy Graham. He'd get up there and I'd tell you that man could preach. Don't tell you, but tell me he couldn't. He'd lay it out there. And then down towards the end, he'd give a call for them to be, I come on down and receive Christ. And they'd come down chewing gum, smiling, laughing and talking to one another. They'd come down there and he'd say, if you believe, repeat this prayer after me. And then and they'd be saved. I want you to know I didn't get it that way. I want you to know it ain't nobody can tell you when you're saved. It ain't nobody can tell you when you're lost. That's what he was telling them. That's why he asked them, who touched me? They said, we don't know. What kind of question is that? How can we know? We don't know. But I want you to know he knew. He knew virtue went out. That woman knew. She knew she'd been healed of that inside. And I believe she got healed more than just of that issue of love, because he said, thy faith hath saved thee. You go in peace. What did you go in that day? In peace. You ain't no different. I ain't no different. If you've been saved by God's grace, you're no different. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you. Not as my Billy Graham gives. I give you peace that you can trust in, that will last you, that will spring up into everlasting life. All this comes through what? Faith.
Amen.
There was a difference in this woman than the rest of the crowd. She trusted him. And I ain't saying everybody that walked down in them stadiums and everything to 5,000, 4,000, however how many they say got saved. I ain't saying all of them didn't get saved. Some of them probably did. There's probably some of them that trusted him. May have just been one. I don't know. That ain't between me and them. That's between them and God. But I want you to realize when you get to a place and he makes himself manifest unto you, you're going to want to believe. Making himself manifest. Preacher. John chapter 1 verse 29. John said this. And then the next day. John saith Jesus coming unto him. And saith, behold the Lamb of God. Which take away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said. This is the 29th verse. Of John. The gospel of John. In the first chapter, this is who am I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come to baptize with water. I want you to realize he came to baptize with water, and he prepared for people, but he also, Jesus sent him to baptize himself. Baptized Jesus. And he was sent for that cause. What? To make him manifest. I want you to know it was to show the world that he was the Son of God. I've heard people say if Jesus wasn't never baptized, he would never have been saved. He'd never been the Son of God. I want you to know he was the Son of God before ever was. He is God. I want you to realize today he was baptized to show the world, to make him manifest. And what done that? The Holy Spirit of God. That he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come to baptize with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descended from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descended and remaining on him is the same is which that baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I want you to know the night I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God come down and said, this is him. This is who you've been trying to believe in. This is him. I'm bringing you down to a place that you can believe in him. I finally got to a spot I quit trusting my own belief, and I started trusting in him. That's where that woman was. She had tried everything she knew. She'd spent all that she had. She went to every physician she knew, and she grew worse. What she had, yes, she had an issue of blood. I believe that. I believe she did, but she had more than one issue of blood. She needed a blood transfusion. She needed the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know until you put your trust in him, you'll just grow worse, and you'll grow worse, and you'll grow worse. But when the time to seek the Lord, the time to seek the Lord is when he's making himself manifest. I've done told you he's all around us. There ain't no place he ain't. So why wouldn't there more got saved? Why ain't there more to get saved here? So why is my child, Brother Jeff, why is my child not getting saved? Brother Jeff, I bring my child up. Well, Brother Jeff, why don't you preach to the lost more? Brother Jeff, why, Brother Jeff, Brother Jeff, Brother And I lay in bed at night, Lord, why ain't they getting saved? I'm giving all I got, God. I'm preaching all that you give me. I'm doing all I can, Lord, why ain't they getting saved? The church is testifying. They're doing all we can, Lord. I want you to know until they believe. I believe the Holy Spirit of God has been here. I believe from time to time it comes down like a dove. I believe sometimes it comes down like a dove, like a soft wind blowing through. And you know something else? I believe sometimes it comes through just like a tornado. Tears people all to pieces. It's all around you. It's a great cloud of witness that surrounds you. And you keep pushing it away and you keep denying it. It's evidence of things not seen. In Luke 18, there was a blind man. The Bible says it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho when a certain blind man sat to the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude, once again, here we got a great big crowd. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And somebody told him about Jesus. They told him that it was Jesus of Nazareth that passeth by. And it's no doubt he done heard about him. And he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I won't find where this man touched him. I don't. But he did. Amen. He touched him with his heart. He touched him not only with his words. He don't look upon a man. He looks upon your heart. The night I got saved, I'm telling you, when I first told that, I thought people would think I was crazy that I didn't get saved. The first time I told it, I don't remember saying a word because I'd hear people say, I promise this and I promise that. I'll do this and I'll do that. I can't remember not one word. But he looked upon a young boy's heart that you wanted him more than I wanted my life. And when I got to that point, I needed him. I wanted him. I could not see him. I was blind, sitting on the wayside. And then Jesus made himself manifest to me and passed by. And I cried out unto Jesus. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, that he would shut up. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And he, when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, thy right receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith have saved thee. Just like this woman, I believe more help than there than just getting his sight back. I believe he was born again. And I believe all this happened through what? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I want you to know, Brother Kyle said, when you begin to believe, you'll get saved. I believe when you truly believe from your heart, you'll get saved. The Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It didn't say some of them will get saved. It didn't say part of them will get saved. It says every one of them. How should they call on whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in whom that I have said? I want you to know it takes hearing about Jesus. Amen. This man heard about Jesus. This woman heard about Jesus. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God with all the people when they saw it, and gave praise unto God. You can believe what you want. I believe when somebody believes in him, they'll begin to follow him. I believe one of the first things you to do is follow him in baptism. I believe that. You'll go on and read about in the next chapter. All this ain't coincidence. There was a man named Zacchaeus in the 19th chapter, a little bitty short fella. I don't know how tall he was. He was a little guy. Whole tax collector, nobody cared nothing for him, called him a sinner and told Jesus, said, you're going down to a sinner's house to eat. This little man wanted to see Jesus so bad that he climbed up into a tree. What was in that? It was faith. It was a multitude of them so that he couldn't see him. He was a little fella and he was wanting to see this man called Jesus. And he believed enough that he climbed up in a tree. And Jesus come walking by, and he looked up there in that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste. Amen. Come down. Humble yourself. Come down. See, that's our problem. That's your problem in believing. You don't want to humble yourself. Don't want to go to the altar. Who else didn't want to go to the altar? Did you want to go to the altar? I remember a time I wanted to. I remember a time I made an altar. I left an altar and made one. Amen. I sure enough did. It become different. It become a time that I wanted it. I remember a time when I'd see that preacher coming, old Pete Porter, he'd get through preaching. He'd stand up there and he'd preach, and he'd come walking down through there, and maybe the revival would help her, and here he'd come towards me. And I'd be just like, oh no, here he comes. What am I going to say? If that's what you're thinking about, you're probably not in too much trouble. I'm just being honest with you. They'd get back there and tell you, are you lost? No, I'm not lost. I don't know whether I was or not. Just be honest with you, I used to think maybe I was because I believed in Jesus. I believed in hell. I believed in all these things. But I never had. You know, the first time I was convicted was the night I got saved. I talked about my wife the first time she went, she got saved. The first time I really went, I got saved. That's the truth. I went that time to get saved. I went that time because he was dealing with me. I went that time because I needed him. I went that time not to please no man, no woman, not to please the church, not to please mama and daddy, not to please nobody else but Jesus Christ. Right. Yeah. And I believe in all my heart the first time that you get willing to step out on faith and trust him, you'll get saved. Amen. When he's dealing with you. So this ain't got nothing to do with me. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. It's got to do with you and God. This woman had went as far as she could go. She'd spent every penny she had trying to be well. She'd went to every physician she knowed. She'd went to every doctor, so to speak. She'd went to Nashville. She went to Skyline. She went to Vanderbilt. She went to St. Thomas. She went to St. Jude. She went this. She went that. She done everything she had. She had nowhere else to go. When you get to where you have nowhere else to go but Jesus, then you're getting there. This blind man, he'd sit there, it ain't no telling how many times he'd sit on that same roadside, heard people going by talking and murmuring and doing this. He's sitting there, no doubt begging. help me out just a little bit here. And he had to be a beggar one more time. Jesus passed by and he said, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." See, that's your problem. You don't want to be a beggar. I get it. We've been raised at a time to, you've been told from the time you was a little that ain't nobody no better than you are. You're as good as anybody. You're as smart as anybody. You're good. You've been told that ever since you was a baby. And then all of a sudden, some preacher stands up and says, "You're a sinner." All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts convicting you and saying, "You're a sinner." And you're saying, "No, I'm not. I'm good. I'm good." You're not good. There's none good. No, not one.
Amen. That's right.
You're going to have to get to a place you don't have nowhere else to go but Jesus. And when you get to that place and he makes himself manifest, can you imagine John? We talk about it all the time. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin." Why did he know he was the Lamb of God? He was his cousin.
Amen.
He leaped in his mother's womb. But until that had been made manifest, he still did not know. But when he baptized him, the Holy Spirit of God just come down just like a dove and landed upon him, and he said, "This is the one." When the Holy Spirit of God begins to deal with you, it's saying, "You are the one. You're the one. He wants you." Is God dealing with you today? Maybe he's been dealing with you for some time now, and you just can't put away your pride. How many times have you been in the crowd? How many times have you went and somebody else got saved and you didn't? You just wonder, "Why, Lord, ain't you saving me?" And I'm going to say this, and I've done said it once, and I'm going to say it, and you're not going to like it. And your mom and daddies might not even like it. It's because you're not believing. That's it. When you really, really trust in him, and get to a place of repentance. And I want to tell you, part of that repentance, just like for her, was standing up and putting away the shame and being willing. Turning away from what she wanted towards God. We find in where that thief on the cross, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou enterest thy kingdom." We find the part of repentance of that I deserve. We deserve what we're getting. This just man don't deserve this. If every one of us got what we deserve, we'd all bust hell wide open. But he died that you wouldn't have to. So if you're going to have to come to him. I preached a sermon here a couple, 3 weeks ago about being willing to forgive people. And they might even not even ask you to forgive them, but you still need to be willing to forgive them. But I want you to know you're going to have to go to him with forgiveness. You've got to be forgive. You're going to have to go to him. And I hope I didn't confuse nobody in that day, because you've got to have forgiveness. But I want you to know you can also go around with hatred in your heart, and it'll keep you from being able to serve God. So I can't imagine what it was like that day. Yeah, I can. That night at Rocky Mound, the altars was full. There was people everywhere. There was 13 of us, if I ain't mistaken, got saved that year. Altars were full. The A women front seat was full. The A men front seat was full. It was just full. There was people everywhere. Every night that week, I got saved on a Wednesday night. Every night that week, somebody got saved. And I tried everything. Y'all have heard me talk about it. I noticed they got saved. They was crying. I thought, well, I'll give that a whirl. So I got to thinking about my daddy knelt down beside the bed of my pa.
And he's knelt down there like this right here. I can still see him. And my pa was laying right there, and my pa, they'd shut his eyes. And my daddy was crying. That's the only time I'd ever seen my daddy cry. So I thought about that, so I cried. I didn't get saved. Worldly sorrow worketh death. It takes godly sorrow to work repentance unto God. So I didn't get saved, and I thought, well, I don't know why I'm not getting saved. Why is this woman the only one out of all these people getting saved? What's the difference in her? You gotta diligently seek him. You gotta want him, seek him, want him, desire him more than anything. And she said within herself, if I just touch his clothes, if I can just get to her, touch him, I know. What did she say? I know. That's the difference. It's I know I'll be made whole. And when she got to that place that she knew he could do it and nobody else could, she couldn't, nothing else could save her. I know you'll save me, Jesus, if I just get to you. When she touched him, virtue left him. And she knew immediately in her body that something had changed. I'm telling you tonight, I got saved. I didn't understand salvation, not one lick. I didn't understand how to pray. Maybe that's why I didn't say nothing. Maybe I was so dumb I didn't know. It don't matter if you can't talk, if you're blind, if you can't walk, if you got an issue of blood. He looks upon your heart. I had no idea how to pray. I had no idea what salvation was. I just know I was pouring my heart out, and all of a sudden, it was gone. Amen. I heard my brother describe it. He said it's like he had a dump truck parked on his chest, and all of a sudden, it was just off of there. It was gone, and I raised up. And Brother Bobby Hale and Brother Raymond Sullivan was like this right here. Looking at me, almost like something. They wasn't grinning. They didn't grin. They didn't give me nothing to make me think something had happened. They didn't cry. They didn't say, are you okay? Are you all right? They didn't say nothing. Amen. And a little boy got up from there. And I walked out there on the porch, and there was an old metal post. And I went up there and I grabbed hold of that. I'll never forget it. It's as real to me. And I stood there holding that corner post. And then Bobby walks up there and he looks at me again. Never said a word. I went home that night with peace. I knew something had changed within me. The next night I come and I went back. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what salvation was. And I was there praying, and then I was praying. I went to praying. I said, God, if I say, please let me know. If that was it last night, let me know. And he said, you get up, tell him you're saved. And I got up and said, I'm saved. And all of a sudden, they tear that old Rocky Mountain church house down. I got saved the night before. That lie went on for years. It was my fault. Them old people, they talk about, boy, when Brother Jeff got saved, he jumped up and he walked a mile in one spot. And they was telling that, and it was so good that I could not let them tell it. It was good. You know, that's what we want. Is that not what we want? We tell our testimony. We want it to be good, don't we? We want it to be good. People get something out of it they like. So they tell it. I didn't tell it. They told it. And I wouldn't correct them. And then he called me to preach, and I had to go up there and tell them. Y'all know that night, y'all talk about me getting saved, and y'all, I said, I got saved the night before. I just got peace. That's what I got, was just peace. That's the only way I know how to tell you about it.
See, the stories are good, but all comes down, go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. That woman fearing, because knowing what happened within her, she had to come clean with him. And that's what he was wanting. And I had to come clean with him too, because that's what he was wanting. I had to, right in the presence of all the people, I had to come clean. Today, if you've been saved by God's grace, you know what you need to do? You need to come clean. You don't need to keep going along and letting your mom and daddy worry, the preacher worry, the church worry, your neighbors worry, your grandparents worry. I ain't trying to talk into nothing, but if you've been saved, you need to tell it. Amen. Let the redeemed and the Lord say so. With the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, you need to let people know about it. If you ain't been saved and you're ashamed to come to this altar, you know this altar can't save you, but it can be a stumbling block to you. I heard Brother Barry say this years ago, and it's the truth. It has been to a bunch. People didn't want to step out and go to that altar. Don't let this altar trouble you. Don't let the crowd trouble you. I've heard people say, well, I'm trying to wait till a time when it ain't as many here. Is that faith? I want to tell you, the night I got saved, I didn't care. I didn't care who saw me cry. I was raised that boys didn't cry, men didn't cry, and I didn't do it. The night I got saved back there, he humbled me. And I didn't care who saw me cry. If Marty Better had been sitting right beside me, and he'd been good if he had been, I wouldn't have cared if he saw me cry. Because I, like the blind man, I cried. Sometimes I get to the point I think, Lord, what else do I tell him? I've told my testimony 1,000 times. I've told them about you. Over and over, and I've seen good men, good preachers, but not like me. I mean good preachers. Come here and pour their hearts out for you and love you so much and tell you about Jesus, how you need to be saved. I've seen your grandparents come to the altar and pray for you. I've seen your mom and dad worry themselves to death. We text back and forth. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you don't believe. I don't know why she don't believe. I don't know why. I don't. But I know this, you're not going to get saved until you do. Just, there she was, right in the middle of it. And she's the only one I know got saved. It's the only one I read about. You might find others. But she got saved. He's here. He's here every Sunday. If he don't come no other reason, he comes with me. I can tell you, I've been saved. Has anybody else here been saved? Amen. Has anybody else got that spirit, something like what I told? Amen. Is anybody here would lie to these little children? I asked you, do you think they would lie to you? You think we'd lie to you? I've said it at different times and really believed it. You know, I'd give my life to see this and get saved and that and get saved. The one who gave his life was Jesus. Amen. To save you. And that's the one you're just not trusting in. I've got to go this week and preach up at Macon, and I'm going to be talking to a lot of kids, preaching to a lot of kids. I need your prayers. I want to see people. I'm not Sister Chelsea. I want to see people get saved. It seems like it more now than ever. I worry myself to death about Easton. I worry about Logan. I used to worry about Addie, but a little grin on the face changed all that. A testimony about peace changed all that. Now I worry about Harvey. I worry about Lane. I worry about Mia. I worry about yours. I won't name yours. I won't embarrass you. But I promise you, I worry about you. I would not stand up here and pour my heart out, give you all I got Sunday after Sunday if I didn't care about you. Your ma, your pa, and your granny, your mama, and your daddy are losing sleep over you. They're trying their best to get you in that crowd. There where Jesus is. But it's going to take you and faith reaching out to him. It's going to take you crying out to him. It's going to take you trusting in him. It's going to take you seeking in him. It's going to take you. I'm going to have to quit blaming myself. It's not my fault. There's something about being able to wash your hands clean. There was one come up and give this to me a while ago. From Indy. Sunday school. It's about Jesus. That's who you're not believing in. You're not hurting me, but not. You're hurting Jesus. You're hurting yourself. So today, if you're lost, if you'd go to him believing, if I could just touch him, you know, one day I'm going to touch him. I'm going to wrap my arms around him. And I believe he's going to wrap his arms around me like he has so many times. I'll leave here today and I know it'll happen. I'll leave here today and I say, I failed you, Lord. I failed that church and I failed those kids. Along about Wednesday, all of a sudden I'll wake up. And he'll say, I'm here. Amen. You go tell him about me again. Amen. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. I love you. I love them children. I want them to be saved. You tell them about me. And they heard about Jesus. He heard that Jesus couldn't see. He was blind. Sitting there, the multitude come by. They was murmuring, talking. They heard Jesus mentioned. And he said, oh, son of David. Oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. Just shut up. That's what they said. And he cried the more. He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to please no man. He wanted Jesus. Oh, son of David, please have mercy on me. And Jesus said, you bring that man over here. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you to want him more than you want everybody else to be satisfied with you. There's some that sit over here in this amen corner that I've got so much respect for. There's some that sit over in this amen corner I've got so much respect for. There's some of you that sit back here that I've got so much respect for. I get through preaching, I just love for somebody like Dusty Dotson to come and hug me and tell me you're doing good. But you know what's better? When I sit down back there and cry my heart out, and all at once he says, "You've done good." Amen. When you're more worried about him and what he thinks about you and what you are, mom and daddy, what your neighbor thinks, then you're getting close to getting there. That's my thought. It's been scattered. It's been everywhere. But I was going to give you all I had.
Amen.
If it's the last time I ever stand in front of you, you remember what this preacher said. It's not about us.
Amen.
It's about Jesus. Amen. We stand the same.